tonight, simply called 41 Will Come. 41 Will Come. I can't remember when it was. I think it was last year sometime. I did a series on Bible numbers. And we only looked at a few numbers in the Bible, and number 40 was one of them. If you remember, 40 is the number of testing. And we see quite a few number 40s in the Bible, and it signifies periods of trial, testing, or hardship. And what I want to look at is a number that probably gets less attention than the number 40, and that is the number 41. To recognize the fact that even though trials come, 41 is next. You know, that those trials do come to an end. And if you like, number 41, even though there probably is some significance of 41 in the Bible, but from our point of view, it's as if when we're going through trials and testings, 41 keeps shouting out, "I'm next. I'm next," you know, just get through these next 40 days, but 41 is coming. When you think of Noah building the ark, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Day 41 came and the rain stopped. After Moses committed murder in Egypt, he hid in the desert for 40 years. Year 41 came and God gave Moses a second chance and used him to bring Israel out of Egypt. And we know what the Lord did with Moses. After the Exodus, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Year 41 came and they crossed the Jordan River and went into the promised land. For 40 days, Goliath taunted the armies of Israel, begging somebody to come and fight them. Day 41 came and up stepped David into the Valley of Elah and fell the giant with that stone. For 40 days, Jonah delivered a message of doom and gloom to the city of Nineveh. Day 41 came and revival swept through Nineveh. God extended his mercy because of the Ninevites' repentance. After being baptized, Christ fasted in the desert for 40 days and was tempted by the devil. Day 41 came, the devil fled, the angels ministered to him, and the Lord Jesus Christ then began his public ministry. Whether you were stuck in the storms of life, whether you were in serious need of a second chance, whether you were stranded in the wilderness of unexpected circumstances, of unfulfilled expectations, whether you were facing what seems to be unbeatable giants in your lives, whether you were being bearing up against unspeakable temptation, can I say this to you? 41 is coming. We might be going through a time of testing, and you said, well, if only these last 8-9 months would have only been 40 days. That would have been great. But these past months of isolation and lockdown and separation, if you like, is a picture of those 40. That number 40, that time of trial, that time of testing, that time of difficulty. But 41 will come. 41 will come. Don't give up. 41 represents the dawn of a new day. You know, the psalmist said, though, how black it is in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also and of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, of the fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. They went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bared up the ark, and it was lifted above the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come around you a word, to be able to study you a word, to be able to preach you a word, to be able to hear you a word. And Father, we recognize the fact that each and every one of us is going through a time of trial and testing at this moment. We recognize the fact that it feels like the whole world is going through a time of testing. And sometimes we feel like the day 41 will never come, that this trial, that this difficulty, that these restrictions, these lockdowns, this pandemic just seems to be never ending. But we know that 41 will come. We know that this time of trial and testing will one day be past and behind us. But we just ask that in this time of difficulty, in this time of trial, whatever it is that you need us to learn, whatever it is that you need us to hear, whatever it is that you need us to apply to our hearts and to our lives, that you would enable us to do that, that you would help us to be obedient to your word, and that we would learn the lessons that only you can teach us. So, Father, we just pray that you would give us the encouragement we need tonight to recognize the fact that that time of trial will one day be over, and that 41 will come, and we'll be mindful to praise you for it. Whatever the need is here among your people tonight, we pray that that need would be met. If there's somebody here struggling with a particular difficulty, maybe somebody is in the middle of a flood right now, maybe somebody is facing a storm right now, maybe somebody is wandering in the wilderness right now, maybe somebody is facing a giant of some kind right now. And Father, I just pray that through this message tonight, you would give them the encouragement to know that one day that storm will pass, that one day that wilderness wandering will be over, that one day that giant will be defeated, that one day 41 will come. Father, we thank you again for this time together tonight. We love you and we praise you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So the ark was ready. Noah had felled the last tree, the last timber had been secured in place, the last nail had been driven home, the last pail of pitch had been applied. Salvation, full and free, was now available to everybody. One step of faith was all it took to step into that ark. One step of faith was all it took to put a person in the ark, safe from the wrath of God. And we see the full commitment demanded of Noah. In verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. How incredible. I love the fact, and we've preached on invitations of the Bible, and I just love the fact that God was already in the ark. God didn't say to Noah, go in the ark. God said to Noah, come. Come thou, Noah, and all your family into the ark. You know, oftentimes when we go through times of trial and testing, we feel all alone. And that's the tactic of the enemy. Divide and conquer. Get you to feel isolated. Get you to feel weak. Get you to feel unloved, unwanted, that nobody cares. And that's what the devil tries to do with our relationship with God. If God really loved you, would he put you through this? If God really cared for you, would you be facing these difficulties? If God loved you as much as the Bible says that he loved you, then why are you facing these trials? But God is with us in those trials because he's promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. God said to Noah, come thou into the ark. And I'm thankful that we never face a trial alone. I'm thankful that today we're not in the ark, if you like, of that Noah built, but we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Noah's family was safe from the wrath of God that was about to be poured out upon the earth through the flood, we today are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then you are in Christ. You are safe. You are secure. Noah still felt the effects of the flood. Noah still felt the effects of the storm as the seas raged about him. But he was safe in Christ. he was safe in the ark. We feel the effects of storms in our life today. We feel it as the waves, if you like, batter our vessel, and we are tossed to and fro, and sometimes we go through so many trials, perhaps we feel a little bit seasick. But we're in Christ. We are safe. Noah and his family just had to take one step of faith. They had to make a total commitment of themselves to put themselves in God's hands, if you like. That's all people have to do today, is take out one step of faith. The ark, the door, if you like, of the Lord Jesus Christ is wide open today. And Christ says to all men, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come into the ark. He closes out the scripture with that final invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. If you are weak, come. If you are heavy laden, come. If you are burdened by sin, come. Come and find rest. Come and find forgiveness of sin. Come and find an eternity in heaven with him. Come and find that rest that the world so desperately needs. Come and find that peace that has so far escaped every single peace envoy that has ever lived on this earth. Come and find a peace that passes understanding. Just take that step of faith. That's all it took for Noah and his family, was that one step. What an incredible invitation. Come. That gracious word rings out repeatedly in the scripture. Until the Lord closes the book. Today is the day of salvation. But there's coming a time when people won't have the opportunity to accept that invitation. What if death knocks on somebody's door tonight? There won't be an opportunity beyond the grave to then suddenly say, oh, that guy who kept witnessing to me all the time, he was right. Oh, that one who kept handing me those tracts, he was right. That one that kept going on about the Bible, that was actually right. There'd be no second chances then. There wasn't a second chance for those who were caught outside of the ark. Today is the day of salvation. It just took a step of faith for Noah and his family to step onto the ark. It just takes a step of faith today for people to call on the name of the Lord to be saved, to trust Christ as their Savior, to believe that Christ died upon the cross for their sins, to know that there's somebody that loved them that much, that he was willing to give his life for them. We are told that Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. What a testimony. Can you imagine, you know, what a testimony that was to a godless generation? This wasn't the fact that, you know, God caught people out. God didn't just suddenly, surprise them with a flood. For 120 years, Noah, we are told in the New Testament, was a preacher of righteousness. So it's possible that for 120 years, Noah was building that ark. It wasn't as if God just suddenly sprang it on them. Noah was simply obedient to what God had called him to do. What a testimony as people saw him building that. Don't forget now, it's never rained up until this point. The way in which the earth was watered was by the dew from the ground. So it hadn't rained yet. So, Noah building an ark, this was crazy stuff to do. The whole world probably mocked Noah and made fun of him and laughed at him. What a testimony when suddenly these animals start coming and heading into the ark. Because we're told it was the Lord that brought the animals in. All the animals going in by sevens, and then also going in two by two. What a testimony. As the beasts of the earth start filling up this narrow gangplank in ceaseless line, embarking for another world. The ark would soon set sail, never to return again. Only those inside would be safe. It's a principle with God that he witnesses in two ways when he is about to be relinquished to judgment. When an age is about to be handed over to judgment, God witnesses in two ways. First of all, he witnesses by faithful preaching, and then by fulfilled prophecy, by sermons, and then by signs. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And as history has demonstrated so often, his witness was in vain. Out of 120 years of preaching, 7 souls were saved. Now, I know of pastors who have been far more discouraged by having a more successful ministry than 7 souls. But Noah just obeyed the Lord. Noah was simply faithful to the Lord. But not only did God provide the preaching, there was also fulfilled prophecy as well. Methuselah died. Methuselah's name meant, and his name was a prophecy. When he dies, it shall come. The death of Methuselah was an ominous sign to that generation. What a disturbing sight for this, the people to see the animals beating a path to Noah's door to seek refuge in the ark. And I'm sure that the rationalists had an explanation for it, that the signs were ignored, the animals went in, Noah's family went in, and the rest of mankind just poo-pooed it as just these fanatics. Only 8 people were saved. The vast and costly work of salvation was all in vain so far as the majority went. Most people didn't believe in God. You know, we get frustrated today because we witness and we witness and we so desperately want people to come to know the Lord, and you can't do any more than witness. Yeah, I remember the amount of times I've had conversations with people and I got so frustrated because I want them to get saved there on the spot, and then I want to be able to baptize them before the end of the conversation, and it doesn't work like that. I wish it did. Wouldn't that be great? But that's people's choice, whether or not they accept or reject the free gift of salvation. Most people simply did not believe that God intended to judge the world. Yeah, that's the point we're living in today. Again, Scripture tells us that in these last days, people are willfully ignorant. Put it simply, they are dim on purpose when it comes to the second coming of Christ. Because they mock, well, where is he? He's meant to have been coming back for the last 2,000 years and he's not back yet, so he must not be coming. Mankind today yawns in the face of God. They don't believe that God will judge this earth. Judgment is coming. And it may be coming sooner than we think. We're told 3 times in Genesis chapter 7 that it rained 40 days and 40 nights. So we're told about the rain for 40 days. And this was a time of testing for Noah. Noah was not a fisherman. Peter was a fisherman. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah had never been on a boat before. How many of you ever get seasick? Loads of people get seasick. Nice feeling. It's horrendous. Noah's going to be on a boat for quite a long time. This boat was not designed to, like some boats, like cruise ships and that, are designed to really kind of make the sailing experience comfortable. This boat wasn't designed like that. This boat was simply designed to go on top of the water. That was about it. It looked like a coffin. Only 8 people saved. 40 days it starts to rain. I'm sure there were times in Noah's mind that he thought, what if I haven't built this right? Listen, I've put IKEA flat pack together. And there are times when I put something in the wardrobe and I thought, I hope this wardrobe stays up, because if I put this up wrong, this is going to be a disaster. My life doesn't depend upon the wardrobe staying together. It does. Okay. My life doesn't depend upon my wardrobe staying together. My life depends upon whether or not Joe's wardrobe will stay together. But can you imagine those 7 days initially when Noah and his family go into the ark, and Noah's like, wow, what's going on? You know, we've come in now, we've got all these animals in here, and nothing's happening. And then day one, and the heavens open, the fountains of the deep break open, and that ark begins to float. I wonder what went through Noah's mind. Is the pitch good enough to cover the whole ark? Is that going to keep the water out? Are we going to cope with all of these animals in here? What's going to happen? My entire family is in here. And Noah and his entire family would go through a period of trial and testing that lasted for the 40 days that it rained. But guess what? Noah had to trust God in this test. This was the first boat that Noah had ever built in his life. And he built it at God's specifications. God is the one that gave him the instructions. How did he feel when those first drops of rain began to fall? How did he feel when the waters began to bay up the ark, when it started to rise? Was he fearful? Did he doubt God? You know, when times of trial and testing come in our lives, the very first thing we normally do is doubt God. When times of trial and testing come, we don't suddenly turn around and go, well, praise God, I'm so thankful that he's counted me worthy to go through these times of difficulty. We kind of say, oh, Lord, why this now? I've just come through one trial. I've just got over one difficulty. I've just had one type of victory. Why is this coming in my life now? Lord, that's not fair. That tends to be our reaction. That might just be my reaction then. I'm sorry, you might have this lowered opinion now of your pastor, but we don't always go, yippee, another trial. Can't wait for these next 40 days of trial and testing. For those 40 days, Noah relished in God's presence. Remember, God was in the ark. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For those 40 days, Noah felt God's peace. God's wrath is being poured out upon the world outside of that ark. But inside, he was exactly where God wanted him to be. Can I say this? That when we're in the center of God's will, it doesn't matter about the storm that rages outside of our lives. If you are where you are meant to be with the Lord, we know that God will get us through it. We'll feel his peace. We'll feel his presence. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Noah obeyed all that he was commanded by the Lord to do. No matter how great the task, no matter the taunts of the people, it didn't matter what was going on outside. Noah did what God commanded. I'm sure he was mocked. I'm sure he was made fun of. I'm sure he was, obviously his message was ignored because nobody else went into the ark. But it didn't matter. All Noah wanted to do was please the Lord. And he did everything according as the Lord had commanded him. Confidence in the Lord and faith in the Lord simply go hand in hand. How many of our fears would vanish if we would really trust the Lord with our problem? Do we have confidence that the Lord will take care of us and meet our needs? We know, according to Psalm 118, that it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Here's the thing. It rained for 40 days. Noah went through a period of testing. And maybe there were some fears. Would this continue to float? Have we got enough supplies to last this for however long this flood is going to last? You know, are the animals going to stay settled, as it were? Will my family get through this? But day 41 came, and the rain stopped. And the boat floated. Now that flood didn't end on day 41. But because Noah had gone through that period of testing, he had learned to trust God. Because of that, he was able to go through the period of time that he had for over a year then on the ark as they sailed through those floods. He was able to trust God through those 40 days of testing. They knew the boat would float. They knew God's peace. They knew they'd experience God's presence. And they recognized from here on in, the waters could only get lower. When you think about it, for that time, no one had nowhere to go. We've all experienced that over the past few months, where we've been stuck in the house. Nowhere to go. You know, I'm thankful that, you know, we got a little bit of a garden so that when things have got a bit too much in the house, at least you're able to go out the back and enjoy the sunshine. You can't do it so much now. It's raining, but I'm sure there's probably some who still sit out the back with a cup of coffee. It just seems to last a bit, a little bit longer and gets a little bit colder quicker. But they were confined to the ark, and they would be for over a year. We've been confined to our homes for a few months, and it's been really tough. It's been tough for a lot of people, for a lot of different reasons. But it's also been a blessing in some way, because from a personal point of view, I felt God's presence more than I ever have in my life before. I've experienced God's peace in a way that I never have before. And God has shown us things that we would never have seen had it not been for this period in our lives. Sometimes we might not be hemmed in the house. At other occasions, we might feel like we're confined in other ways. You know, some people are confined to a hospital bed, just lying there day after day, hour after hour. Many are confined in a dead end job with no promotion in sight, with no hope of getting anything else. And some are confined having no job at all. And sometimes we just feel hemmed in, like there's nowhere to go. Noah had nowhere to go, but he knew that God was there with him in that time of difficulty. He had nothing to do. Noah didn't have to steer the ark. It didn't, as far as I'm aware, when he was building the ark, it didn't come with a rudder. Where would he go? The whole world's covered in water. It's not as if it's like, right, you know, you want to go on this heading now and head to where? So he didn't have to steer the ark. Nothing new or exciting. The same routine every day. Mucking out the animals. I did have a Noah's ark joke, but I can't tell it. Because I know it upset a lot of people. And it depends whether or not we've got a specific type of people watching this message online. Go on, tell us. I can't. I'll tell you after. I can't. I'm going to do a show. I can't. I'll tell you after. Josh, let me know when you finish the live stream. I'll tell the joke. He had nothing to do. Just the same routine of cleaning the animals and feeding the animals and listening to the water slosh against the side of the ark. And if we were honest, sometimes we feel like we're on that hamster wheel. Perhaps we're not going anywhere in life, and it just seems to be the same mundane thing over and over and over again. Maybe you feel like your life has become predictable. Maybe certainly in this time of lockdown, it's as almost as if you're like, right, we get up and we do the same thing. For those who are working in these difficult circumstances, maybe things are different than others who are stuck on a lockdown. Just go through that mind-numbing routine every single day. Sometimes we feel like there's just no purpose. After a long, dry sermon, a minister announced that he wished to meet with the church board in the vestry after the close of worship. The first man to turn up was a total stranger. "You must have misunderstood my announcement," said the minister. "This is a meeting of the board." "I know," said the man, "but if there's anyone here more bored than I am, I sure would like to meet them." Don't laugh and look at me like that, John, when you're laughing. Not allowed to take your mask off. And we all have days like that where we just feel like we're not going anywhere. Winston Churchill wrote this: The main qualification for political office is the ability to foretell what is going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, and next year, and then to have the ability afterwards to explain why it didn't happen. Sometimes we just feel like we're on that treadmill, not going anywhere. But here's the mistake. Noah took matters into his own hands. Look at chapter 8 and verse 7. We look at verse 6. We look at verse 5. The waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountain seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Can I ask you this? Who told Noah to send forth the raven? Nobody. God didn't say to Noah, now this is what I want you to do. As soon as the ark comes to rest, I want you to send out the bird. God didn't tell Noah to do that. So why did Noah do it? To see if the waters had gone down. Why? So he could get out of the ark. It's what happens when we take matters into our own hands. You look at what happened with Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. God had promised Abraham that he would have a son. They couldn't wait for God's promise to be fulfilled, so they took matters into their own hands, and Ishmael is born. And we see from the scripture the conflict that there is seen between Israel and Ishmael, between Isaac and Ishmael. It's still going on today. What good did it do Noah to send out those birds? It accomplished nothing. The truth is, God had shut the door of the ark, and when the time had come for Noah and his family to leave, God would have opened the door. But sometimes we get ourselves into more trouble when we try and force God's hand. Noah had learned after the 40 days of the rain to just trust God. So when day 41 came, he just trusted God's peace and trusted God's presence. But in this instance, Noah takes matters into his own hands. I wonder how much time we waste when we do things God has not told us to do. How many times do we spend, or how much time do we spend, do we waste worrying about things? I think it's Cody Ten Boom said that worry, I tried quoting this the other day and I got it wrong, worry steals. Worry doesn't empty today of its sorrows, it empties tomorrow of its strengths. How true is that? But we spend so much time worrying about things. We spend so much time being anxious about tomorrow. We spend so much time being fearful of the future. We need to learn to wait on the Lord so that he can renew our strengths. Romans 8:19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. James tells us to be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Noah had nothing to do, nowhere to go, took matters into his own hand. But here's the thing. The blessings were only possible because of day 41. What do we do when, like Noah, we're confined to the ark? What do we do when we feel like we're hemmed in? We need to rejoice. How can we rejoice when things are not going our way? Because we rejoice in God, not in our situation, not in our circumstances, not in things. We rejoice in God's sovereignty, that God knows what's going on. We can get as stressed out as we want to about this pandemic. We can get as worked up as we want to be. We can follow every crackpot on social media that has just spewed utter nonsense about what is going on in this world, and it won't do us a blind bit of good. Trust God. We can rejoice in God's sovereignty. This pandemic hasn't taken God by surprise. You know, we're not going to, whatever's coming, we're not going to be able to stop it. But you know, it's cash society's coming. So what? I never use cash anyway. I haven't got it to use. Oh, cashless society's coming. Yeah, the Revelation says the cashless society will come. So who are you to try and stop that when God said it's coming? Oh, one world government's coming. Yeah, God said it's going to come. Who do you think you are to turn around and say, oh yeah, well, you know, this is God said it's coming. We rejoice in the sovereignty of God. We rejoice in the love of God. We rejoice in the grace of God. We rejoice in the mercy of God. We rejoice because of who God is, not because of the situation we're in, not because of the circumstance we're in, not because of what's happening in the world around us, not because the world looks like it's falling apart. We rejoice because he's in control. Read the end of the book. It got me through English, my English exam. Just read the end of the book and do a full book study. I just read the book on the way to my exam on the bus that morning, and I passed my English exam. Just read the end of the book. We win. God wins. We get to go to heaven. We get to spend eternity with God. End of sports. And we ought to rejoice in that. If we do rejoice in who God is, we'll be able to get through anything. If we don't, then we'll start to reason and say, well, if God is good, how come this has happened? If God is good, why has he let this come into my life? If God is so good, why has my child gone astray? Why has my loved one died? Why is my health failing? Why is this happening in my life? If we allow the fruit of our sin nature to cloud our judgment, to doubt the goodness of God, if we let the flesh to reign, then we will be convinced that we must make up for God's deficiencies in our lives by taking things into our own hands. And that was the mistake that Noah made. It wasn't God's time to open the door yet. We will get through this. Why? Because 41 will come. We're going through a time of testing like we have never been through before. But 41 will come. And we'll get through these trials because God is with us. We'll get through these difficulties because God will grant us his peace. We'll get through these times of heartache because God's presence will be with us. 41, not 41. Noah wasn't able to do much in the ark. But he was being a faithful man. Growing, maturing, learning things about God in the ark. And that's what we ought to do during these 40 days. I know these 40 days are lasting for months. And you know, back in April when we said, oh, hasn't this been a tough month? I can't believe we've been out of church for 3 weeks. Oh, never mind, the summer's coming, we'll be all right. And then we're like, I hope next Christmas will be on. This is getting a long time now. I can't believe that just in a few weeks' time, we'll be in 2021 and we'll be saying, wow, what a year. I'm not buying you a diary for Christmas this year, love, because the last one you didn't use. Focus on being, not doing. Let's just learn what God wants us to learn through these 40 days. And rejoice in who God is, recognizing the fact that 41 will come. Noah had a golden opportunity to know God intensely in the ark. Moses was given 40 years being a man to get to know God, but he had nothing else to do as they wandered in the wilderness. Paul was confined to Arabia with one goal, to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. James says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Noah was not in the ark alone. He had his family. And that was enough for a little congregation of believers. You know, we might only be a little church in the eyes of the world today, probably insignificant. But we're all in the same ark, as it were. We all face the same type of storms. We all go through the same type of trials. Noah and his family were in that together. They didn't have anywhere to go. Learned a lot about one another, haven't you, over these last few months, being stuck in the house. All the men who said to their wives, I'll do that, love, when I got time. Can you meet a rod for your own back? They were in that ark for a year, and they were in it together. We're in this together as a church. And we have to encourage one another. We have to bear one another's burdens because that fulfills the law of Christ. We have to love one another. Listen to this quote. I read this quote this afternoon from a pastor. He said this, "I have learned as a pastor that when a believer starts attending church less frequently or only sporadically, it is always a sign of spiritual trouble. I've heard all the rationalizations, I'm too busy right now, or I can worship God at home in my kitchen, or something just as lame. But to be a healthy part of the body always implies two things, a desire to stay connected and the humility to admit our need for other believers. Attending church regularly is not a matter of legalism, but spiritual logic, especially as we see the day approach it. I understand that today is different because I am thankful that some people are able to worship the Lord at home who cannot make church." But you understand what he's saying. We are commissioned to help one another, to love one another, to encourage one another. Because we are all in the same boat. And perhaps you can identify with Noah. Can I just say this? Hang on. Keep going. Perhaps you're dissatisfied with yourself. Perhaps you feel like there are times when you've let the Lord down, when you've taken matters into your own hands. We still talk about Noah today. God didn't suddenly turn around and say, "Oh, that's it. You let that raven out, I'm done with you. That was useless. I can't believe you did that." If we are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an incredible life and an incredible opportunity. John the Baptist never performed a single miracle, but Jesus said of him, "Among those born of women, there is no one greater." John was content to just be a voice. A voice crying in the wilderness. Do the most everyday and insignificant tasks, knowing that God sees you. And I can promise you, in this time of testing, 41 will come. Until that day, just keep rejoicing in the goodness of God, because he's not forsaken you, because he is the one that gave us the invitation to come to him. If you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, then you are safe in that ark, as it were. You might say, "Oh, how terrible that was for Noah to be stuck in that ark for all of that time." Do you know what was worse? Being outside the ark. That was far worse. If there's anybody listening to this message tonight that has yet to trust Christ as their Savior, you need to do that before it's too late. The Bible says, "Call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved." If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you believe that God raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you are outside the ark of safety tonight, then you need to be saved. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you will never go through a time of testing on your own. And God will always bring you through it. Why? Because he's promised to. We'll never face anything alone because he's promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. 41 will come. I'm just thankful that Noah knew God's peace. Pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight and for this opportunity, Lord, to just be able to come around you a word. Father, whatever the need is here tonight, I pray that you would meet that need, Lord. If there's a need of salvation, I just pray that somebody would be convicted of their sins and would recognize their separation from a holy God because of that sin, and that they would call upon the name of the Lord, believing that Christ died upon the cross for them and that he and he alone is the only means of salvation. Father, there may be some here tonight or listening online that feel exactly like Noah did, feel like they are hemmed in, feel like they are going nowhere, that they're not able to achieve anything, as it were, that this time of testing is never ending. But Father, would you help us to recognize your peace and presence in our lives? Would you help us to rejoice in your sovereignty and your love and your mercy and your grace in who you are? And Father, help us to focus on you and not on the circumstances we find ourselves in. Help us to take comfort from the fact that 41 will come. And Lord, if we never get through this pandemic, I know that one day we'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And Lord, if that's the worst thing that can happen to us, that is the best thing that can happen to us. Father, I just pray now you'd continue to help us through these days of difficulty. You'd continue to keep us safe, and we'd be mindful to give you the glory for all you do in our lives. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, Sibby's going to come and play with Steve now for our last hymn. And following this, and I wonder, John, would you close us in a word of prayer then after this hymn? Thanks.
Just heard from the Lord, he was never cast adrift